welcome to today's episode of Somewhat But Not Quite Daily Musings. I'm Alicia, and I wanted to share something with you that I'm just entirely not qualified to talk about. I'm not an expert or anything when it comes to paper writing, but I wanted to talk about paper writing, which I've done all of one time. So please, again, take everything that I say with a massive grain of salt. There are many smarter people than I am who have worked way harder and who have done infinitely more papers. But I wanted to share with you some of the things I learned from writing my very first second year level university paper. And specifically, it was a history paper, but this would apply to writing a paper in the humanities in general, something that's going to have a pretty hefty word count. The one I was doing was 3,000. So the big thing learned from my mistake in this regard is that it obviously requires a lot of reading. And going into this, I was thinking, hey, I'm good at reading. This is easy. Like, I can easily, in the span of a semester, crush a bunch of books and then be more than prepared with an armful of research to support whatever paper's argument that I'm going to be making. It turns out that I procrastinated, and instead of reading a book a week as per my regular scheduled pacing, that would have been about right. My hope, just by the way, at the start of the semester was to pick out a bunch of books I thought were relevant. I picked out 10. That was my university's cutoff for how many books I was allowed to take out from the library. So I got 10 books. My idea was about 10 weeks, I would read one book a week, keeping track of research bits and pieces, and then I would string everything together after that. I got to about week 8 or 9, and I'd only read one or two books. I did not do a good job of this. And what ended up happening is I still did the same amount of reading, but I did it in an extremely compressed timeline. I probably read something like 6 books in a week or two. I was doing a book a day for a little bit of time. Now, that being said, I wasn't reading cover to cover for the vast majority of them. Some of them I was only reading a couple key chapters. But also, it's worth noting that some of the subject material was pretty intense. I was researching in particular the 1930s and the political atmosphere in Canada in the 1930s. So it's not like it was easy, fast reading. I mean, it would take me a long time to get through even a chapter. So that was one thing. I mean, anytime you're going to write a research paper that's in the field of humanities, you're going to need to do a ton of reading in order to get enough depth of opinion or a depth of information with what you're doing. I heard something once, I don't remember who said this, but it stuck with me. I think this is probably like a James Altucher thing or something. The idea that, yeah, it was his thing, because he has a thing where he says something like, you know, I hope I'm not misattributing this, but it takes about 12 books of anything to become essentially an expert on something, which, I mean, obviously that's a really simplistic explanation. But my thought with writing this paper is that with book number one, the landscape of what I was reading about, politics in Canada in the 1930s and extremism, more specifically, was a brand new landscape. I had no idea what I was getting into. I had no idea the major players, the people's names, the major parties. I was coming into it with a totally blank canvas. But I knew that even though that first book would serve as introductory level material, and I really wouldn't know what was going on, by the 12th book, or in my case, maybe the 9th or 10th book, everything would be pretty familiar. So as I pick up another book, I'm like, oh yeah, this guy, or oh yeah, this this party, or whatever it happens to be. Such that when I circled back around to my research notes from the first book, my notes that I had saved made so much more sense because I was able to then have the full picture. So this is just a really long way to say that a lot of reading, I think, is the only way that you're ever going to get enough of that depth of understanding of a subject. I think reading just one book is a mistake, because I could have just read that one book. And when I circled back around to it, I knew that book so much better just because of all the other material that I'd read. But every step, like every book along the way, or paper, or whatever it is you're reading, is just another perspective on the same thing. It's like you're looking at something from a different angle. And each piece is going to support the other. So if you're just looking at one piece in total isolation, you're just getting like this very narrow perspective. It doesn't give you the whole picture. So biggest piece of advice that I think that I could give as a total amateur at paper writing is just to kind of plan the writing throughout the semester, because usually you are given the assignments in the syllabus, so you kind of have some idea what you're working towards, and giving yourself like months to do the reading. And then within 2 weeks or so, pulling together the actual writing portion of it, assuming you've been saving research. I should back this up a moment though, and say that I did get a decent mark in this. There's a fly. I ended up getting an 85 or an 86, so a solid A. On my paper, the prof has been a pretty tough marker, and that's good. That's how I learn. So I'm really glad that I'm not just, you know, he's catching like every single mistake I make and every detail that's a little obscure, asking really interesting questions. So I did have like an excellent prof in that regard. But I was happy with my mark. I felt that it reflected the time that I put into it and the work that I had done. So again, I'm not super good at this, but I did like a pretty good job. I think he said like good paper. Another thing I wanted to, this is just such a simple thing too. Writing is in part really logical, like keeping a bunch of research notes everywhere and then finding a way to logically construe them so you have a coherent narrative and logical argument that follows from start to finish. It's sort of like a puzzle, I felt like, as I was putting kind of my research pieces together and trying to create the story. But the story, this really stressed me out. I didn't know what I was writing about for a really long time. Now, I knew that I was writing about political extremism in the 1930s in Canada, but I did not know what arguments I was going to be making. What about political extremism in the 1930s in Canada? The point of an essay, at least in history, I assume most are kind of similar, is that you're trying to make a point. You're trying to make an argument. You're not just saying facts, because who cares? No one wants to read a text about like some facts about political extremism in the 1930s. The facts are going to be woven throughout the narrative that you choose. So when I knew nothing about the subject, I had no idea what the argument I was going to make was. I had no idea what my narrative thread was going to be, because I didn't know the subject. But as I started reading more books and more books, especially towards the end of my time, the narrative sort of just appeared. I mean, if you want me to be really specific, I started just keeping, it's feeling based. It was like pretty intuitive. Just this feeling and these thoughts I was having, like, man, this Bennett guy, this prime minister, he's no good. He did a lot of things that really, I think, made a bad impact on Canadians. And everything I was reading was kind of supporting this idea in my head. And I started to peripherally build an argument in the background as I was reading. And the more I got kind of laser focused on this, the more I realized, okay, the arguments I'm going to make is something to do with how leadership, good or bad leadership, can essentially, well, bad leadership can create that political extremism. Because I had this like flash of inspiration where I wrote my opening paragraph. Basically, I kind of just tried not to inhibit myself at all. I was like, okay, I have something to say. I'm going to say it, and it's probably going to be really stupid. This is sort of how I went into this, and I'm typing my stupid thoughts and I'm totally not censoring them. And it's all about, okay, why do hardships, like economic hardships, whatever else, pull people apart sometimes, but other hardships, like maybe going to war, for example, pull people together. What is this that causes this these people to become more extreme, which I think is a relevant question to today, and what causes people to, you know, link together? And I thought that this had a lot to do with the leadership, and I crafted my opening paragraph just in this flash of inspiration. And that's such a magical thing that happens in writing, and one of my favorite things about writing, but it's filled with this self-doubt and, this is really stupid and it's not going to work. But I ended up keeping it. I barely even edited it. And the teacher ended up saying really nice things about, like, I had a really good opening or an interesting opening or something like that. So it was kind of an interesting point of validation that the flashes of insight must be captured for better or for worse, because that's a kind of a brief moment in the whole essay, which I thought was just okay, where I felt like I really was sharing my own voice. Of course, the whole thing was my opinion, but learning how to write with your own voice is quite a challenge. So that was a kind of an interesting thing that I experienced during it. But I have a long way to go to becoming a great writer, which is my goal. I don't just want to be average, but it's a pretty big learning curve to really communicate as precisely as you want to. Another thing I learned, there's just never enough time. I could have kept researching forever. And at some point, I kind of just had to start writing. This is the thing that all the other writers warn you about, that you're going to want to procrastinate. You're going to want to avoid writing because writing is really hard and researching is way easier than writing because you're just kind of consuming information that's a little bit more passive. You don't have to actually like formulate something in the kind of way you have to do when you're just researching. So I was resisting it. It was probably about 4 days out from when my essay was due when I was finally like, I cannot leave this any longer. Have to start writing. So what I ended up doing, and this was really effective for me, so I would highly recommend this to you. It's a little bit of a process. If you're ever writing a paper, I know this is very niche specific and most of you probably aren't writing papers, but I'll share it all the same. Most of my notes were virtual. So I was reading books online. Actually, like I said, I got 10 books from the library. I got a stack of them, but I much preferred reading them and capturing my research notes digitally. It was so much easier because any time I found like a key passage, I would just take a little screen clip of the specific text and I'd make a note about what book that was in, where it was found, any important footnote information that would be a part of that. Just so I had like a nice clear set of organized notes. And then for every screen clipping I did with my notes that I kept from a book, I would give like a little title just to cue my memory on what that might have been. Because I ended up amassing probably like 200 of these across a bunch of books that I was reading, maybe more. So I needed to have little bits of reference information for myself to follow. Now, what I had is this massive document with over 200, you know, little clippings and notes, all organized by book, of course. What I did when it was time to start writing, I had my opening, I outlined like the general sense of what I wanted to do with the argument. And then I just wrote. I just went through every single note, decided if it was relevant, if it fit anywhere in particular. And I wrote like these crappy sentences based on the references that I had. And I did a couple crappy little sentences to link things together. And what I had at the end of this, going through all my notes, it took hours to do this, by the way, but I wanted to be thorough. I ended up with 7,000 words. Now, most of it was garbage. I had to write an essay of 3,000 words. So my thought was, okay, now I've like way over-explained things. I gotta chisel away at the stone and make the sculpture. Because right now I just had like a slab of concrete, or I guess people don't, stone, marble? People probably don't chisel concrete. It'd be interesting art. So I don't even know if that would work. So I have these 7,000 words. They're totally disorganized. My sentences are awful. But my rule to myself as I was writing this is like, it doesn't have to be coherent. It just has to get like a point of information down that I think is important. And there was a whole bunch of overlap. So sometimes I would end up writing the same fact like 4 times just because I kept coming across it and I wasn't sure if I wrote it and everything was all out of order. So I went through these 7,000 words and I cut all of the stuff that had been repeated. And I tried to make my sentences be a little bit tighter. And then I was left with something like 4,500 words just by doing that first trim. And then from there, I was able to do like a kind of a 2 or 3 more passes to get it to around 3,000 words where I wanted it by just ruthlessly cutting parts that maybe I thought were interesting, but just asking, does this support the narrative? Does this support the narrative? Is this a weak fact? Is this a strong fact? Do I have a good reference for this, or is my reference for this other point like really kind of flimsy, and so on. So I pared it down. That was so much easier, I think, than trying to get the perfect sentence each time and building up bit by bit to that 3,000 word point. It was way easier to overdo it, like overshoot by like a significant margin, and then shrink it down to something that was tighter and more concise. Now, the things I did wrong in the essay, the things that I could have done better that I got called out for, I didn't have enough footnotes. I thought I had lots, but you know, there was clearly some points that I assumed were common knowledge but needed support. So I need to do a better job at, you know, providing those footnotes. Another thing that I didn't do a good job of is my argument was clear, but the structure of it wasn't quite as logical as I would have hoped. I might have been jumping around times. So it would have made more sense if I went from 1930 to 1939 in one fell swoop, little bit by bit. But I was kind of jumping around. I wanted to talk about political party A, and then I went kind of in the future, that I went back in the past to talk about political party B, and so on. And I think that ended up making the narrative a little bit jumpy. So anyways, this is a really long video, I'm sure. The main takeaway, perhaps, from this is the fact that when you find your voice, when you have those moments where you experience inspiration or flow, and you're being the most yourself in your writing, that seems to work well overall, which is a little counterintuitive, because I was feeling that my intro was actually pretty risky, that it was sort of my original thoughts. It wasn't based on anything I'd read, and that's scary when you're new to writing, essentially, writing research papers. But that ended up, throughout some of the other assignments in the course as well, I did find that the writings that received the best feedback were the ones where I kind of felt were more in my voice, less just churning out facts and more telling a story or constructing, you know, bringing someone into my world. So that's it for today. For the maybe 10% of you watching this who are actually going to university, I hope it was 10% helpful. And again, total amateur over here. So if you have any tips, I'd love to hear them. This is not going to be my only rodeo. There's going to be many more of these research papers to come. Thank you so much for watching. I'll catch you in the next one.